Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Kelly Jean Kelly, Mario Ritter, Dorothy Gundy, and Katie Weaver. First, here is Kelly Jean Kelly.
A court in the United States has ordered a hearing next week on President Donald Trump's new executive order on immigration. The order suspends the country's refugee admissions program and bars entry to people from six countries. In all six, most of the population is Muslim. Officials in Hawaii have disputed the legality of the order, which is to take effect on March 16th. The court will hear arguments in the case March 15th. The executive order blocks the approval of new U.S. visas to citizens of Iran, Syria, Yemen, Libya, Somalia, and Sudan. The travel ban will be in effect for 90 days. The order also bars refugees from entering the United States for 120 days. Trump says the measure is necessary to protect national security. He has dismissed critics who say it targets Muslims. U.S. federal courts suspended enforcement of an earlier version of the executive order. The top law enforcement official in Hawaii said on Monday that the new order is just a new version of a Muslim ban. State Attorney General Doug Chin said, under the pretense of national security, it still targets immigrants and refugees. The executive order says the government must improve its investigation of those who seek to enter the United States. It says the six countries named in the order have a compromised ability to provide the necessary information to ensure people from entering the U.S. are not a threat. Iraq was included in the first executive order, but was removed after Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said his office was in contact with the Iraqi government. He said, they were working to improve the system for investigating the security risk of Iraqi citizens. Iraqi Foreign Minister Ahmed Jamal told the Associated Press that removing his country from the order will improve cooperation in the fight against Islamic State militants. Mohamed Naji works for the Sudan Tribune news website in Paris. He said, officials in Sudan are furious about the order because they were involved in a process that was supposed to lead to all U.S. sanctions being lifted. Naji said that process began during the presidency of George W. Bush. He said Sudan is wondering if there has been a setback in the process, especially given that President Trump's executive order lists Sudan among states sponsoring terrorism. In the United States, several congressional leaders have expressed support for the new executive order. Trump's Republican Party controls both the House of Representatives and the Senate. But most Democratic Party lawmakers and human rights organizations oppose the measure. Some critics called it racist and anti-Islamic. House Speaker Paul Ryan said, the order helps to support our shared goal of protecting the United States. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he believes the new order will not be considered as a religious ban and will not be blocked by the courts. Reports say the new order was written to deal with the concerns of the federal judges who blocked the first order. Graham said he believed the new order to be a ban on individuals coming from compromised governments and failed states. Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders expressed sharp disagreement with Republican supporters of the ban. He said, "The order targets Muslims in an attempt to divide us up. This isn't about keeping America safe. A president who respected our traditions of religious freedom would not have resorted to hateful anti-Islamic rhetoric to justify the ban." The International Rescue Committee provides humanitarian aid to 40 countries and has helped resettle refugees in 28 U.S. cities. It said the new order is a threat to the 60,000 refugees who have already been investigated but are still in crisis areas. The IRC said the American Resettlement Program is considered the world's most successful and secure. It said there has not been a deadly terrorist attack by a refugee in the U.S. since the resettlement program began in 1980. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
A young man appeared in a YouTube video claiming to be the son of Kim Jong-nam, the half-brother of North Korea's leader. In the video, the man says in English, "My name is Kim Han-sol, from North Korea, part of the Kim family." He then shows a passport that was partially blacked out. The passport is similar to passports issued to North Korea's government officials. He says, "My father has been killed a few days ago. I'm currently with my mother and my sister," in the video. The Associated Press reports that an unnamed official from South Korea's National Intelligence Service has determined that the man in the video is Kim Han-sol. A group named Cholima Civil Defense posted the video. The group says the governments of the Netherlands, China, the United States, and a fourth unnamed country are providing humanitarian assistance to the family, according to Reuters. The appearance of the video adds to a complex chain of events and increasing tensions surrounding the death of Kim Jong-nam. Malaysian officials say Kim Jong-nam died after two women rubbed a deadly poison, VX nerve agent, on his face at the Kuala Lumpur airport. A court in Malaysia has charged Siti Aisyah of Indonesia and Duan Thi Hung from Vietnam with the murder. The two women face a death sentence if found guilty. Relations between Malaysia and North Korea have worsened as the investigation has continued. On Tuesday, Malaysia barred all North Koreans in the country, including diplomats and embassy workers, from leaving. North Korea also has banned Malaysians from leaving its territory. The decisions followed earlier moves to expel each other's ambassadors. North Korea has claimed that the man carrying a passport with the name Kim Chol was not the half-brother of North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un. But it has asked Malaysia to return the body. Officials in Malaysia want to question several North Korean suspects in the case. Officials are also waiting for a DNA sample from a family member to identify the body. I'm Mario Ritter.
Organizations that study hate crimes in the United States say that the number of hate groups in the country has risen since 2015. Hate groups are organizations that call for hatred or violence against people because of their race, religion, sexual orientation, or other characteristics. The Southern Poverty Law Center, or SPLC, is a civil rights organization that researches hate groups, incidents of hate, and hate crimes. In a report released last month, the SPLC said the number of hate groups in the United States reached a near record of 917 in 2016. That's up from 892 in 2015. The SPLC has been counting hate groups for 30 years. The highest number of hate groups was 1,018 in 2011. President Trump began his address to the United States Congress last week by recognizing recent hate crimes in America.
Recent threats targeting Jewish community centers and vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, as well as last week's shooting in Kansas City, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms.
There have been a number of anti-Jewish incidents in 2017. The Anti-Defamation League is a rights group that seeks fair treatment for Jewish people. It released a security warning to Jewish organizations across the U.S. late last month. The warning comes as a sixth wave of bomb threats targeted 110 Jewish community centers and day schools since January. The latest wave was Tuesday. According to the ADL, bomb threats were made to at least 13 Jewish centers and schools in 10 states. The FBI arrested Juan Thompson in St. Louis, Missouri, in connection with some of the bomb threats. Thompson is suspected of making at least 8 bomb threats to Jewish organizations this year. 3 crimes in Jewish cemeteries also were reported in recent weeks. Criminals damaged and knocked down at least 154 headstones in St. Louis, Missouri, on February 19th. A week later, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about 100 headstones were damaged. Days after the incident in St. Louis, Vice President Mike Pence visited the cemetery to help clean up the damage. He said there is no place in America for hatred or acts of prejudice, violence, or anti-Semitism. The SPLC has reported 1,372 hate incidents from November 9, 2016 to February 7th. One of the latest incidents of violence happened Friday
in the state of Washington, near Seattle. The Associated Press, or AP, reported that a U.S. national of Indian origin told police that a man with a gun approached him at his home. The Indian foreign minister identified the victim as Deep Rai, who was a member of the Sikh religion. Last month, in the central state of Kansas, an engineer from India, Srinivas Kuchibotla, died after being shot in a crowded bar. Another Indian man and an American who tried to help were injured in the incident. The SPLC says the largest increase in hate groups were those targeting Muslims. In 2015, there were 34 anti-Muslim hate groups. That number grew to 101 in 2016. In St. Louis, Missouri, Muslims are raising money to help pay for the damaged Jewish cemeteries. Organizers of the campaign want to send a united message from the Jewish and Muslim communities, and to condemn hate, desecration, and violence. Professor Stephen Goldstein is the national director of the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect. He told VOA that President Trump should hold a televised speech that deals with hate crimes. Goldstein said public figures have an influence on other people's behavior. He said they have a responsibility to set a good example. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
When you see a news story in your Facebook news feed, you might assume that it is true. So perhaps you share it. But what if the story was false or fake? Through a simple mistake, you might be spreading information that is untrue. Facebook has started a program to battle the spread of fake news. The program alerts Facebook users when independent fact-checkers have disputed the truth of a news story. Facebook also has made it easier for its users to dispute a news story. A video from Facebook introduces the new update Facebook is launching for noting fake news. The video was released in December when Facebook first announced it was testing this fake news program. The program for dealing with fake news has four parts. Each one is supposed to help users identify when a shared news report is not true. Facebook has started to work with independent fact-checking organizations to find out whether a disputed story is true or false. These groups have promised to verify news stories using the Poynter Organization International Fact-Checking Network Ethical Guidelines. When these fact-checkers dispute the truth of a story, Facebook will not block the story from news feeds. Instead, the site will flag the story as under dispute. A link to an explanation about why a story is disputed will be included. Click on the three dots next to the story to find the link. Here is what Facebook says. To see why a news story was marked as disputed on Facebook, 1. Hover and click underneath the disputed story. 2. Click About Disputed Stories or go directly to the independent fact-checking website. Facebook may also put disputed stories lower in news feeds. You can share a story that has been flagged as disputed, but you will get a warning about it from Facebook. Facebook is making it easier for users to report a story as fake. Here are the site's instructions on how to do that. 1. Click the down arrow next to the post you'd like to mark as fake. 2. Click Report Post. 3. Click It's a Fake News Story. 4. Click Mark This Post as Fake News. You can also send a message to your friend who posted the false story, letting him or her know that the story has been disputed. Or you can block that friend. The update includes software that Facebook uses to identify stories that may be in dispute. If many people read a story but few share it, Facebook may tag it for verification by the independent fact-checkers. Sometimes spammers will spread false stories on Facebook to try to get readers to click on advertisements. After a story has been flagged as disputed by Facebook, that article can no longer be promoted in news feeds or in Facebook ads. The process for marking a news story as disputed takes a while. Do not necessarily believe a story on Facebook is true just because it is not flagged as disputed. That flag may be coming. This update to Facebook is coming into use slowly, so you may not see flagged stories in your news feed immediately. I'm Katie Weaver.
Elvis Presley sang his last song nearly 40 years ago. But his home at Graceland, where Presley is buried, is expanding. Graceland is just a short drive from the center of Memphis, the second largest city in Tennessee. A new area called Elvis Presley's Memphis just opened on the grounds of the estate. It includes new stores, a hotel, two restaurants, and a new exhibition center. The exhibition center has some of the clothing Presley wore while performing, as well as the guitars he played. Visitors also can see some of the cars he once owned. Priscilla Presley, his former wife, says Elvis Presley's Memphis will give visitors a better understanding of the man known as the King of rock and roll. Even nearly 40 years after his death at age 42, Presley's music lives on. His songs are sung by a long list of Elvis impersonators who perform much like Presley did in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s. They attempt to recreate the sound and look of the King.
I'm all shook up.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, made a list of what it considers Presley's five most important songs. They are That's All Right, Mystery Train, Heartbreak Hotel, Don't Be Cruel, and Jailhouse Rock.
You should have heard you knocked out jailbird, sing that rock. Everybody let it rock.
Presley appeared in 33 movies and often performed on television shows. In its report on Presley's death, the Washington Post said that Presley's music captured the increasing rebellion of young people. In his song, In the Ghetto, Presley wrote about paying attention to the struggles of people living in poverty.
People, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way?
More than 20 million people from all over the world have visited Graceland since it opened in 1982 as a tribute to the late rock star. But will visitors keep going there as more people who enjoyed his music when he was alive grow older and die off? Robert Thompson is director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University in New York. He predicts Presley will continue to have a large following. He is part of a group of performers, including the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra, and Bing Crosby, who remained popular long after they stopped performing, Thompson said. He is one of those historical figures that became part of American folk culture, Thompson noted. Fame after death is not guaranteed. Thompson points out that the two biggest American stars of the 19th century, Sarah Bernhardt and Jenny Lind, are not famous today. Bernhardt starred in theater productions and some of the earliest films ever produced. Lind, called the Swedish Nightingale, was an opera singer who became America's most popular singer. Some cities even named schools and bridges in her honor. One reason Presley, the Beatles, Jackson, Sinatra, and Crosby are still popular is modern technology. It is very easy to listen to their music on record albums, radio stations, videos, and the internet. Crosby's song, White Christmas, gets played over and over again in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Crosby, like Presley, died in 1977. Having a place like Graceland will help keep Presley's memory alive, Thompson said. People who went there as a 5-year-old are likely to remember the experience, even if it did not turn them into fans of Presley, he said. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.